This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Here are headlines from some of the other stories we're following here today at NPR News. The Congressional Budget Office reported today that the deficit for the current 2009 fiscal year would stand at a gigantic $1.2 trillion. That number does not include the cost of President-elect Barack Obama's stimulus package. And Roland Burris is scheduled to appear today before an Illinois House panel considering the impeachment of Governor Rod Blagojevich. The Illinois governor appointed Burris to the U.S. Senate seat formerly held by President-elect Obama. Now, you can hear details on those stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday, and Ira Flatow will be here with a discussion on the science of swindles. Can psychology help explain the success of the Bernie Madoff scam? Plus, a new study on knotting nanofibers and research into novel treatments for diabetes. That's tomorrow's Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. Rick Steves is, to put it mildly, an experienced travel writer and broadcaster. We've had him on this program before to talk about his company, Europe Through the Back Door, but he recently returned from a trip unlike any other. He spent 12 days getting to know Iran and the Iranian people. Here he is talking with a group of students at the University of Tehran.
So you're a modern young woman.
Yeah.
Well-educated.
I like to be.
Yeah. Then you must wear cover your hair.
It's a law in Iran.
It's a law.
It's a law.
Now, I cannot shake your hand.
No, because here is a religious society.
And I can shake his hand.
Yes, yes.
I'll shake your hand for her, okay? Thank you.
Rick Steves joins us in just a moment. If you've traveled to Iran, tell us your story. What did you learn? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Rick Steves is the author of several European travel guidebooks. He hosts the public radio talk show Travel with Rick Steves. You can see his special on Iran Monday evening on local public television stations. And he joins us now from his studio in Edmonds, Washington. And nice to have you back on the program. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Neil. Good to be with you.
And how did you end up in Iran?
Well, I care about this. This is sort of a citizen diplomacy mission on my part. As you mentioned, I go to Europe a lot. That's my beat. I spend 4 months a year in Europe. But I just thought, you know, I should know about Iran. And I was appalled at how little I knew about Iran. And I figured my neighbors knew about as little as I did. So I went over there with the opportunity to take our public television film crew. And I'll tell you, I had the most learning two-week experience I've ever had in my life. And what a thrill as a travel writer to be able to edit that into a one-hour TV special, bring it home and have it air on public television across our country. In the spirit of humanizing a powerful and proud nation of 70 million people.
And is Iran encouraging Americans to come over and visit as tourists?
Well, it's interesting. They do have a tourism department, and it's a subset of their Ministry of Guidance, so it's not a free society. You know, I think they've traded away their democracy for this theocracy. But they want to have a better image with the rest of the world, especially the Western world. One thing I was struck by was how skeptical they were of my motives. They've had so many American crews go over there and come home and edit things together in a menacing way. And, you know, while we were over there doing our shooting, it occurred to me I could easily edit this footage, these prayer services in the mosque or whatever, with a little few guerrillas jumping over barbed wire and lay on some jihadist music, and it would be a very scary little bit of the show. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to just connect with the people and better understand them. And it was a great experience. They, you know, a lot of people travel to Iran. The Lonely Planet guidebook is a great guidebook, and it's just out in a new edition. And it just doesn't sell very well in the United States because we've got this embargo on them and we've got our political problems. But I think going to Iran is a lot like a Cuban cigar. You know, it's a big deal for Americans, but it's less of a big deal for other people.
And you mentioned Iran, not always a free society. You were accompanied, I suspect, everywhere you and your crew went by what's known in the trade as a minder, somebody from the...
Yeah, we had a minder. He didn't like to be called a minder, but he referred to himself as a guide. And he was the same guy that took Ted Koppel around when he was doing his documentary on Iran. And you know, I'm glad we had the minder because there was a lot of conflicting security people and your papers don't get you through everything you want to. And again, it's not a free society. Now, had I had an agenda to show their nuclear power plants or their military stuff, of course, I'd be frustrated. But really, everything we wanted to do for our script was they endorsed and they were happy to have us show it. I wanted to show the real side of the people, the frustration of young people that have to be modest and so on. And, you know, I had to be sensitive to the reality over there. A club owner, for instance, might be famous for a place where you can go and have a little public display of affection and people don't have to wear their scarves quite right. And he'd be have a booming business, but he would not want a film crew there documenting that because he could then lose his license and we wouldn't want that to happen. So there's a, you know, there's a creepy sort of big government presence everywhere in public. But of course, in the domestic world, it's completely different. I was just so impressed by the revolution of values. That's what they call it, is a revolution of values. It's been there now for 30 years, and it's motivated what I figured by was fear and love of parents. They're fearful of Western encroachment. They don't want their girls to be raised like Britney Spears. That's what they told me. And they didn't want a lot of sex and drugs and crass materialism. They wanted to raise their kids in their morals. And they're very threatened by the West. I went to the Great Museum in Tehran, hoping to shoot great artifacts of their rich culture that goes back 2,500 years. Almost nothing there. I said, what's going on? I have to write this out of the show. Curator said, if you want good examples of our culture, you got to go to the great museums in Europe. You know, they have a heavy baggage because for 2,000 years, they've been fighting off encroachment from outside.
Hmm. Your agenda, though, was not necessarily political. You wanted to travel and experience Iran as a traveler.
Yeah, it's the one nation, the way I understand it, in the Middle East that is actually has been there for 2,000 years without any change of its borders, really. All the other nations are modern creations. This is a real, real rich culture and a proud culture. We went to Persepolis, which I think is the greatest ancient site between the Mediterranean and India. And I was struck by how Persians go to Persepolis to connect with their heritage and their proud roots that go back to Xerxes and Darius and Cyrus 500 years before Christ. You go there and you realize these are proud people and they're good people. It would just be dangerously naive to think that we could shock and awe them into submission. You know, just in the 1980s, they lost 250,000 people fighting Saddam Hussein, and they would do it again tomorrow if they had to, if they felt that their way of life was threatened. Not to belittle the perplexing and persistent problems between our countries, but I certainly found it a paradox. You'd walk down the street in Tehran and you've got a 15-story building and the whole side of the building is a ugly American flag with skulls for stars and dropping bombs painting the red and white stripes. And then you get onto the streets and you find the people go out of their way to welcome you. I've never felt so that being an American was actually such a plus as me on the streets as a tourist in Tehran. I was stuck in a traffic jam once, Neil, and the guy in the next car, Tehran's a huge city, 10 million plus. The guy in the next car told my driver to roll down the window and he handed a bouquet of flowers over and he said, give this to the foreigner in your backseat and apologize for our traffic. You know, that doesn't happen to me when I'm traveling in Europe.
Doesn't happen much in New York, I suspect, either. let's get some callers on the line. We're talking with Rick Steves about his PBS special that airs Monday night, Rick Steves, Iran, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. What's your experience traveling in Iran? David is calling from St. Louis.
Hi there. I happened to go to Iran about 4 years ago. My father's from Iran, so I kind of got a different perspective. I didn't have the minders or anything, and we could pretty much go anywhere any Iranian can go. And I actually got to go to Persepolis, and it was an amazing experience. Everybody was friendly, and it wasn't the kind of tour-by-number thing that you get in Europe and United States. You could pretty much go wherever you want, climb on whatever you want if you so please, and just really you could touch things that maybe you shouldn't be touching. But it was an amazing experience, and it was a free experience, and I think it's kind of one of the undiscovered gems in the world. And Americans should make it over there. You have nothing to be afraid of. Iranians are the friendliest people in the world. So.
And David, how would you describe Persepolis?
Persepolis, it was amazing. You drive out into the middle of the desert, and then you come up upon this fortress on top of this hill. And you see these columns kind of sticking up out of the desert, and you really get a sense for the greatness of the Persian Empire and why they picked that location and the feel of the land. It was an amazing experience.
200 years, Persepolis was the heart of the Persian Empire, Rick Steves.
That's right.
You do see the remnants of the Islamic Revolution when they went through and defaced it. And there's so many layers of history there that it's such a worthwhile experience that I think it's valuable for everybody to see.
Rick?
And David, did you notice the huge tarmac in front is a remnant of the Shah's big ostentatious party in 1971, where he flew in dinner from Maxim's in Paris and jetted in all the Aristotle Onassis-type people to have this big party celebrating the 2500th anniversary of the Persian emperor. And he was the latest of the Shahs, or the kings. And that sort of a display of, like, crass wealth, a lot of historians think was the beginning of the end of the Shah, because a decade later he was history and the Islamic revolution had swung the pendulum to the other side. During the Shah's time, the people in Tehran bragged that the miniskirts in Tehran were shorter than the miniskirts in Paris. And that sounds fun if you're a cosmopolitan person, maybe. But again, if you're a less educated, conservative, small-town, fundamentalist parent in the rock, sort of the bedrock of Iran society, that is offensive. And that's all symbolic of what they reacted against. And, you know, that's where we are today. They've got this Islamic Republic of Iran, and they've got modesty police, and they've got very strict regulations. Women are not allowed into the soccer stadium. Well, a lot of us would think, well, that's horrible. But they spin it as respect, because women can go to a badminton game or a volleyball game, but the soccer stadium, there's going to be coarse language, and they don't want their women to hear the F word, you know. It's stuff we don't understand very well, but it's just so fun as a traveler to go there and to realize there's different outlooks. Those people are motivated by fear and love, just like we are.
And even on the buses, they separate the men and the women. And it wasn't to segregate people out of disrespect. It was all about respect for the woman and understanding the relations between men and women. It's a very
right.
respectful culture. I didn't see men gawking at women anywhere.
And you know what's interesting about that is the women are not required to go in the woman's car. It's just a refuge for them. They're welcome to go into the men's car, and many do. And the women there told me maybe in New York the women would like to have a car where they could go and be without men leering at them. So it's just different, and it's fun, and it's so great to be able to, as a travel writer, go over there and check that out and bring it home. Neil, I should mention the show airs on different days over the next couple of weeks all over the United States.
Oh, so check local listings.
Yeah, I'm afraid that it's going to be – it's airing almost everywhere in the next couple of weeks, but you can check your local listings to see exactly when the Rick Steves Iran show runs.
David, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Nancy on the line. Nancy calling from Kansas City.
Hi.
Hi.
I was able to travel to Iran in 1998 with my family. My husband is Iranian, so just like your previous caller, we had freedom to travel around. Nobody was monitoring what we were doing or why we were there. And we were able to go to Persepolis and had an equally wonderful experience there. And I was traveling with my two sons, who were 3 and 8 at the time, and they absolutely loved it. And my son has also been able to go back 2 years ago when he was 16 and travel with his dad again. And hopefully, my 13-year-old son will be going this spring, and we go during the Nowruz, which is the New Year for the Iranian culture, and it's just this one big, huge party all over the country, so it's very fun to be there in March.
And Nancy, if you had the chance, would you take your sons back?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's beautiful. The people are wonderful. You know, obviously, we have family there, so we just feel so comfortable, and my experience as an American woman that was about 2 feet taller than everybody else that were there was very, very positive.
Nancy, thanks very much for the call.
Neil, listening to Nancy and David, it just occurs to me, you might seem kind of naive saying, oh, the people are so friendly when you consider the problems between our governments, but that is the impression everybody gets when they get on the streets of Iran. And I think we need to remember that their politicians will say bombastic things about us that seem to be pointed at us, but I think they're directed at their own political base to shore up their political base and take advantage of fear that keeps people like Ahmadinejad in power. And I believe if the United States was less easy to demonize, if it was less credible to say goofy things about us, then these guys wouldn't be electable, because the people on the streets of Iran want to like Americans, but they will compromise that if they feel like Western culture is threatening their idea of how they want to raise their kids.
Here's an email from Lois in Bakersfield, California. I recently returned from a 3-week visit in Iran. Overwhelming impression, the hostile dialogue between our governments bears no resemblance to popular sentiment. We love you, we love America. This was enhanced by Obama's election election to our presidency on this trip. We, 10 Americans, watch the election returns on CNN and Al Jazeera English. Nor does the popular American stereotype of an oppressed people stand up. There's an enormous difference between what Iranians observe publicly, headscarves, no alcohol, and practice privately. I know that that alcohol question worried you on your way into Iran, Rick Steves.
Yeah, because when I go to Europe, we'll do my work there. Of course, the fine wine and the beer is a great part of the culture. I was skeptical that they would actually be dry, but there was not a legal drop of alcohol anywhere. At the top of a fancy hotel where you just have all the diplomats or whatever, just definitely no alcohol. Women are covered up. There's no urinals in the country. I thought that was interesting, but according to their religion, apparently it's not right to stand up when you take a pee. So you couldn't find a urinal anywhere. I kept giving people the thumbs up when I was excited. And then halfway through my trip, our driver said, excuse me, Mr. Steves, the thumbs up is the same as giving the finger in your culture. So you learn from these little faux pas, and you don't want to embarrass yourself. But the main thing you learn is that it's more complicated than we're led to believe. I was stuck in traffic with our driver, and all of a sudden he blurted out death to traffic. And I had a double take. I thought it was death to America, I said. And he said, well, in Iran, whenever we're frustrated by something that's just out of our control, we say death to that. And I thought, well, that's not a lot different than when we say damn those teenagers. I mean, we don't want them to die and burn in hell for an eternity. We just want them to turn down the music, you know. So it's more complicated than you get from a distant perspective filtered through the mainstream media. And that's why I'm such a big fan of actually going there and learning, or as a travel writer and a person who produces programming for public television and public radio. It's so great to be able to go there, bring it home, and find an avenue here to share that information, because it is critical that we better understand Iran.
Let's get one last caller in. We're going to have to squeeze it. Cynthia from St. Louis. We just have a few seconds, Cynthia.
Hi, I was just wondering if, as a female traveling without a man and as a Jew, would it be safe for me to travel to Iran?
My experience with that is, Cynthia, yes. Iran is famous for its lack of religious freedom if you're Baha'i, and that's because in their religion, Muhammad is the last prophet. Christians and Jews have prophets before Muhammad, which is just no problem at all. But Baha'u'llah came in the 19th century, and for that reason, Baha'is and people practicing Baha'i are not allowed in Iran. Women, as long as they're dressed appropriately in public, are just as welcome to roam around as travelers as men are, and a lot of Americans are going there now, but you do have to take a tour when you go to Iran, just like you did when you visited the Soviet Union during the Cold War. You are welcome to travel there, but with a tour.
Thanks for
it. It wouldn't be a problem being Jewish. I wouldn't be identified.
No,
Okay.
No. Cynthia, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you for taking it.
Bye-bye. And Rick Steves, thank you for your time. Always nice to talk to you.
You too, Neil. Thanks a lot.
Rick Steves, the author of several European travel guidebooks. He hosts the public radio talk show Travel with Rick Steves. And you can see his special on Iran running whenever on your local PBS station, I think starting Monday night. Rick Steves with us from his studio in Edmonds, Washington. Tomorrow, Ira Flatow will be here with Science Friday. We'll see you again on Monday. Have a great weekend. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.